I want to start by looking at some scripture that we've read a few times, especially during our School of the Word. And just a reminder, Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We'll carry on by reading from Luke chapter 7 and starting at verse 18. "The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples, said to them, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?' And when the men had come to him, they said, 'John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying,'" "to come. In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues, and healed evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, 'Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me.'" And then moving on to Luke 17. "Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, 'The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Nor will they say, "Look, here it is," or "There." For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." School of the Word has prompted many sermons and will probably prompt many more. Because it's good when you've got the scripture going through your head and it keeps coming. I think, yes, that's the word I want to bring. But our text today talks of the kingdom of God being among us. And the scripture says, if you like the proof that the kingdom of God is amongst us, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. Now, of course, that raises a bit of a problem for us. Because if we're really honest, we haven't seen that many miracles here in Spain in recent weeks. And it started me wondering, are we settling for second best? Are we getting everything that God has got for us? I bought an antivirus program for my computer the other week. We've all bought them, haven't we? And I looked on the back of the box, and it had a list of three different types of program. And alongside them, I think we've got a slide of it, that's it. And it had little dots to show which qualified for the program that you'd bought. Needless to say, I'd bought the cheapest. And so I wasn't getting all these extra benefits. And I was wondering, have I settled for second best? And it seems sometimes the more money you pay, the more you get. Good thinking. But sometimes our approach to Christianity can be like this. We start with the basic package, and we go for the box that says, "I want salvation." And I tick that box. And then I want the blessed assurance that comes with it. And I tick that box. And I want Jesus to be mine. And I want to be an heir of salvation. You know where I'm getting all these from. And I want the foretaste of glory divine. And the heir of salvation, the next one. There we go. But sometimes as we look further down the list, we find things that we're not too keen on. We find things where sometimes it seems as though the price is just a little bit too high. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. Part of the Sermon on the Mount. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not reap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I'm going to keep these last two verses on the screen and get them together where I normally put one verse at a time for a reason, and I hope that will become obvious. Now, before you start looking for get-out clauses and start sending me emails that say the prayer we recite is different to that which is in the Bible, modern translations don't say, "For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory." You're right. Some translations don't include this line. Some do. Go back to your King James and your New King James and you'll find the verses there. If you've been at the School of the Spirit, you would know that there are two different sets of Bible texts from the Greek that we work from if you're translating. And they're called, if you like, they're called the Textus Receptus and the Nestle Aland, or they're called the Byzantine and the Alexandrian texts. And they're slightly different. However, this is a very typical ending to the Lord's Prayer. There's very much evidence, going right back to AD 90, that this was added in a book or a printing called the Didache. And I know that's pronounced wrong, but it's my best wrong pronunciation of it. The other one sounds more like Didikoi, and Pat warned me off saying that. But this was actually a work done in AD 90, which was actually the teaching of the 12 apostles. It was almost like the first catechism. It was the first thing that was laid down, expressing. You go through it, it'll tell you how to be baptized, and it says you've got to be baptized in running water and taken down three times. Or if you can't be taken to running water, to have water poured over you three times, and so on. It's quite old. But the actual source of this ending of the Lord's Prayer comes from 1 Chronicles 29. And I know I'm short of time, but I've got to read this because I just love it. Says this: "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. Amen." Now that's how our prayers should be, shouldn't they? To this great and glorious God. But let's go back to the Lord's Prayer. And let's have a look at line 12, or verse 12. Because this might be one of the boxes we don't really want to tick. "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." You can read it again. "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us." And some versions will say, "Forgive us our sins, as we've forgiven those." Now let's add that onto our checklist. Oh dear. But it's a form of agreement. This is what I think is called in English language a reciprocal agreement. It comes on a basis of, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Yeah, you familiar? You do something, I'll do something in return. I was looking around for a good example of this and I came across the Australian government's health pages. And it said that the Australian government has got an agreement with New Zealand, the United Kingdom and 9 other countries. And these agreements mean that Australian residents can get help with their cost of essential medical treatment when visiting other countries. And residents of these countries can get some essential medical treatments while visiting Australia. It's a reciprocal agreement. Now, why do I go mention all that? Because the scripture says, "Forgive us our trespasses," that's the one side, "as we forgive those who trespass against us." Yeah? It's a tit-for-tat agreement. It's a quid pro quo, whatever you want to not like. And I'm not making light of it. Because we're asking God to forgive us our sins on the same basis as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Actually, I really want a bit more than that. I want God to forgive all my sins. And I'll try and forgive the people who sin against me. But that's not what the verse says. We don't always want to tick the condition box. The box should have a little asterisk against it saying that there's a health warning or a condition attached. We want forgiveness, but we don't want to release those who've hurt us. But don't forget what Jesus said. "For if you give others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now we started by looking at the kingdom. And the Lord's Prayer asks, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is that what we want? Is that what we really want? Do we want the kingdom of heaven to come into this place today? Apparently we do. Good, thank you. We want the kingdom of heaven to come down, don't we? Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. But are we willing to check the box? If there was a box on the list that said, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, will we put a tick in the box? A few weeks ago, I think it was, Andrew who reminded us that it's not pie in the sky when we die, it's steak on the plate while we wait. And I've certainly said that at some time in the past. See, we're looking for the kingdom of God. I want to tell you that the kingdom of God is a now concept. It's not a tomorrow, it's not a pie in the sky, hairy fairy, well maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. But I'll just tick the box just because I want to be safe. I'm ticking the box because I want the kingdom of heaven now. I want Jesus to come in here now. I said, I want to see God's Shekinah glory shining in this place. Yeah? I want it to be a reality today. John had wondered if Jesus was the one, or were we to wait longer? And I'm sure lots of people today have done the same thing. Jesus said, look around you. The blind see, the deaf hear. And Luke 17, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. And some of the older translations say, the kingdom of God is within you. Now that's within you as an individual, and it's also within us as a body, as a group of people here today. The kingdom of God is in you, Audrey. And the kingdom of God is in us, Wellspring Church. I think Jesus was saying as well, you know, you can't pick and choose which bits you like on the checklist. If you sign up, you sign up for the whole package. These are things you sign up to and you accept. And these are the things which are within you, which you have to learn to surrender. And it becomes an ongoing work of God in our lives. And let's be honest, we haven't all got there yet. We haven't all ticked all the boxes. There are some things that we need to move on at. Let's look at Mark chapter 10. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, if there's one thing that will get people into turmoil, it's money. Jesus could sense the problem that this man had. He was obviously very well to do. He was called the rich young ruler. He had great possessions. Now, I don't think that Jesus is actually offended by people having great possessions. But he does get offended when possessions become the be-all and end-all of everything that we have and everything that we do. Jesus doesn't get offended when we have activities outside the church. But he does get hurt when these take greater priority in our lives than church itself. Matthew 13 says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells it, all that he has, and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of God, or sorry, the kingdom of heaven, is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, and who, on finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is what he was saying to the rich young ruler. You have found something which is worth more than anything you could possibly have. Sell everything you've got and have this great rich. The kingdom of God is so wonderful, so worth chasing after, that we would cast everything else to one side to get it. And it doesn't take any finding. The kingdom of God is a now concept. The kingdom of God is among us right now. The kingdom of God is within us. Jesus is here right now to all who will believe and accept. There's a great big checkbox in front of us right now. And it says, all of the above. I think we've got a, yes, here we go. All of the above. If you click it again, the tick will come, I think. There we go. Check all of the above. Jesus is waiting for us to put a tick in the box. But it will mean laying some things down. And it will be different for each one of us. What you have to lay down is not what I have to lay down. What I have to lay down is not what you have to lay down. For some, it will be pride. That's quite a big one for some people. Look at me, who I am, where I am. For some people, it will be money. We've already seen that one, haven't we? For some, it will be position. Well, of course, it's all right for me because I'm an elder in the church. And I'm appointed by God. But no, if that's our attitude, we have to lay it down. For some it will be authority. For some it will be jealousy. Living in areas of, well, look what he's got. Why can't I have that? Why is it that that was given to him and not to me? And so on. For some it will be unforgiveness. And it works two ways, you know. Sometimes people won't accept that they're forgiven. Some people want to carry blame. And some people will not forgive those who have hurt them. And I'm sorry to say, it causes a great bitterness to build up in some people as they walk around with this big rock on their backs because they won't tick the box. For some, it'll be the status quo. And it's in small letters on my notes. It's not the pop group. I remember a dear old man coming from America to one of our YWAM counselling schools. And in one lecture we did a personality test. And we had to answer 100 questions, I think it was. And it gave us a number of answers. And we were going to be A or B, C or D, E or F, and G or H. And eventually you got a result which said something like you were an A, D, B, whatever. And afterwards, they then gave us a set of notes which said, if you answered this, then this is a description of your personality. If you answer this, this is a description of your personality. And some people went, am I really like that? Is that really me? But as he went round and shared with different people, dear Leroy said, I am, da, 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 da. I've been like it for 60 years. I'm very comfortable with it. And I ain't expecting to change very soon. The question there is that you today? Are we putting our heads in the sand? We use an expression that we say we've become like an ostrich. It's actually not true. Ostriches don't bury their heads in the sand. But some people do. They hide away from problems and from situations. They say, well, that's not really for me. That doesn't apply to me. And we pretend that if we don't talk about it, and if we don't look at it, God will forget it. But we need to face up to the realities of the things that we cannot truly and rightly opt out of. Jesus has a great deal to offer us. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. There are no maybes in this scripture. There are no, well, that's all right if you live in somewhere else. I mean, I've heard of people being raised from the dead in Nigeria. But that's okay for Nigeria because they live in a different sort of concept to what we do. This is Spain and we're British. This scripture says, the blind will see, the deaf will hear. The song that Matthew sung whilst we were taking communion, I am the God who heals you. Not, I will be the God who heals them, or I would like to be the God who does this. It says, I am the God who heals you. So the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the dead are raised. Look at Luke 10, verse 8. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. If we are going to live as kingdom people, we need to start to be expecting that when we pray for someone to be healed, they will be healed. So what's this kingdom that we're being asked to opt into? All kingdoms, have the many things in common. They have a king, they have a territory, they have a constitution, a citizenship, etc. on the list. But let's just look at two or three. Every kingdom has a king. Sounds a bit obvious, but it's true. If we're going to live in the kingdom of God, then we have to expect and allow that Jesus is going to be king of his kingdom, of which we are subjects, and therefore Jesus is king of our lives. Yes? And we have to accept that authority in Jesus' life. Look at territory. All that the king rules is the king's territory. The scripture says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So everything is the king's domain and we live in it. And citizens, we are people who live under the authority of a king. And if we live in the kingdom, then we have to obey the law. If you live in Spain, you have to abide by the rules of Spain. No options. The kingdom of God is different because it is an opt-in kingdom. Okay? You choose to become a member. Here we don't have a choice. We're living in Spain. That's the only choice we made. Once we made the choice to live in Spain, we had to accept that the rules of Spain apply to us. However strange and bent and obtuse they may seem at times, we have chosen to live in Spain and to accept its laws. And if we don't, then Spain will very kindly ensure that we do. The kingdom of God is slightly different because it's opt-in. But once you tick that box and say, yes, I'm going to be a member of this kingdom, then we have to start to live by its rules and its regulations in obedience to the king. We're children of the kingdom of God, and we should be expecting kingdom things to happen. Do you understand that? We've got to start to expect kingdom things to happen. If we've ticked these things on this list and said, I want salvation, I want blessed assurance, I want to be an heir of salvation, I want to forgive those who have sinned against me, I want to tick these boxes, then I'm going to say to God, God, I am a child of the king, I live in your kingdom, I'm obeying kingdom rules, I want to see that person healed, I want to see that person saved. I was listening this morning to a guy on television and he just said, sometimes the reason why our prayers are not answered is because we pray, dear God, if it's your will, and if you could just find time to fit this one into your thing, I would just like to see Auntie Mary's knee get better. And it's time to start praying, God, I am a child of the king, you are the God that heals, I want to ask right now in Jesus' name for that person to be healed. And we start praying in the power of the Holy Spirit because we are citizens of the King. Question today is, do you want to experience it? Is that what you want to experience today? Do you want to experience the opportunity that people will be healed? Right, then I want to ask you to stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to ask right now that we will look again at the list that we have to tick and to check off each and every item in our lives, Lord God. And Father God, if there's something that we're stumbling over right now, then I ask, Lord, that in the power and the might and responsibility of the name of Jesus, that we will learn to do the things that you ask us, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that where there are people that we've been unable to forgive, that right now, Lord God, we will turn and we say, I forgive that person. I release them right now in the name of Jesus. And Father God, everything on that list, Lord God, everything that you've asked us to do, Lord God, I pray that we will become children of the King of Kings, and we will be citizens of the King of Heaven, Kingdom of Heaven, and we will take all its benefits, Lord God. Father God, thank you, it's not pie in the sky when we die. Father, thank you, God, that healing is now, forgiveness is now, repentance is now, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the lame men will walk. Father God, we ask these things in the power and the might and the love and the glory of the name of Jesus. Amen.